Welcome to the Modstat Podcast, all the fits that make news.
The whole world gone crazy! I heard Biden was a loser. I mean, look, Joe never got more than 1%.
And now, your hosts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Modstat Podcast. As always, my friend, it's a pleasure to be here with you. How are you?
It's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me back. It seems we get like really shifted into second gear, and then we're like, oh wait, we got to start now.
As opposed to doing this podcast with anyone else. But yeah, that's the thing with precast. When there's a lot to talk about, or we've got two major things to talk about, we could certainly precast for a while. So at a certain point, it needs to just shut off and. We need to get after it, but
no. I don't think there's anybody I'd rather do this with, because we're able to cover this, as we'll probably go to a couple of points here tonight. We're going to cover different angles with it, but we keep it civil and hopefully keep it entertaining for folks. And thank you all for wherever you're coming hailing from and whatever medium you're using. Indeed. We appreciate it.
Yeah. As always, thank you to our increasing listener base. It's kind of took a sharp uptick here in the last 2 months, and it's been building. So that's been exciting for us and brings us back to want to do more episodes. So
we kind and generous of you all. Indeed. Thank you.
As always, get it out of the way first. If you have any comments, you can leave them obviously at podomatic.com, but if you head over to modstate.com, or if you feel like sending an email to us at modstate@modstate.com, that works.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
We've gotten a few of those.
Yeah, well.
Not all of them very nice.
We need to, well, nicer or not nice, we should probably read a few. If
there's some weird Germans and weird Russians that write to us. Well, some of the comments, you should see. I don't know if I've told you about any of it, but there's some really strange ones. Like, do you not know why the Golden Gate Bridge is not double reversible? It's like, no, I don't. Hmm. I gotta say,
it's strong engineering, I suppose. German engineering. Yeah.
I don't even know what they were trying to say.
Well, anyway, let's.
With that,
our last episode, if you haven't listened, we made some predictions as to where we currently are today with the caucuses in Iowa and New Hampshire. Moving on quickly now to South Carolina. Where is South Carolina? I'm not wrong. Yeah. And I'm trying to remember my prediction, because I was very vague in my prediction. However, I think I had pondered over the idea of Bernie Sanders being in either the number one or number two. And I know your predictions were Mayor Pete. I believe you were dead on. I think you had said Mayor Pete and Bernie Sanders. I don't remember in what particular order. However, you were dead on. I don't remember me being dead on. I think I'd picked Joe Biden, but I do remember mentioning Bernie Sanders, although I was a bit reluctant, and I was wrong. I mean, ultimately there is a lot to unpack. With this entire thing, not to mention who is the current front runner, but also the debacle that was the Iowa caucus. I don't know that I want to spend a lot of time on it, except for my thoughts are just, you couldn't have picked
across the board.
You couldn't have picked a worse timing. It's coming off of, at least for the Democrats in terms of a strategy, coming off impeachment, sort of the impeachment failings in the Senate, not necessarily the House, and you launch into a fairly anticipated Democratic race, and Iowa blunders. And look, there was a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding it, that the DNC essentially saw that Bernie was the front runner, and were trying everything to do to sort of take the limelight away. However, that's the major issue there, is that it really sort of steamrolled the celebratory nature, the momentum that's gained, because the entire focus was the debacle of Iowa.
That definitely helped Biden. the debacle definitely helped Biden.
I think, although he did wind up fourth in New Hampshire, so I don't know. It certainly didn't allow momentum to be gained for an outright winner that night. And I think that's what historically has happened there. And quite frankly, I think the big takeaway from that is I would be surprised if Iowa is the first next in 2024. I would be surprised.
I would be too. And here's the thing where you've got to have, there's a caveat to, I didn't remember precisely until you brought it to mind, my predictions, but okay. Yeah, sure. I was spot on, but there's a major caveat to that because I've said all along that, look, and I mean, this is academic, but we got to remember that the black voter support writ large goes to is going to decide this thing. Okay. And to date, that has been steadfastly behind the vice president. Sure, it's trickled downward. It's had a negative trend. But when push comes to shove in South Carolina, are people really going to go Bloomberg?
Well, and that's,
or would they go Bloomberg enough to hurt Biden?
I think that's the interesting, you know, moving into South Carolina, what we do know is that
he's doing a Giuliani in 08. Giuliani put all his eggs in Florida.
Yeah. Well, what?
And lost.
Yeah. What we do know, obviously, is that Sanders holds the front runner spot, at least at this current time. And we know that Biden held that fourth position. And really, I think ultimately it comes down to, I mean, you can put all your eggs in the basket of South Carolina, I suppose.
And I think he's going to win it.
You still do. I mean, I don't disagree with you. Although, there's a lot of data that shows that individuals in the past who have been in his current position have not secured the nomination. Now, this...
Let's hit pause here for a second. What do you think sways the black vote in South Carolina then? Do you think, because it's not going to Mayor Pete. It's not happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of the African-American vote, I think Mayor Pete's going to have a tough time recovering from, and I think that will be a big talking point. But I really do wonder about momentum and fundraising abilities and how much that is going to play a role, aside from who the DNC ultimately wants. But again, you know, it would be, to me, with Bernie Sanders currently being the front runner, I can almost sense the revolution happening if Biden, who's had poor showings twice now and maybe not the greatest showing in South Carolina, winds up getting the nomination. Now, that doesn't discount the fact that maybe he's the best person to go against Trump. But
that's unfortunately not been the issue. Otherwise, Biden would have already had this thing locked up. Okay, look, and I want to hit two things real quick. Number one, I don't mean what I said about the black community and their vote in a pointed way. I mean that is as in that's the single most powerful voting bloc in the Democratic Party, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And you can't win the Democratic nomination without it. That's why Mayor Pete registering between, I kid you not, 0 and 2%. That's in that amongst that voting demographic. That spells doom. So Biden, my thing is he going to get hurt enough by Bloomberg to give Sanders a win here?
I say the Bloomberg Biden.
Bloomberg's not going to win South Carolina.
No.
But could he hurt Biden enough to allow Sanders to win it?
I guess it would depend on how hard Bloomberg has been.
I mean, how far away is the vote? How far away is South Carolina?
I'd have to think. That's unprofessional of me for not knowing, but regardless of when the vote is, I mean, I don't know. Is Bloomberg,
you really think Biden could lose it
overall or in South Carolina?
South Carolina.
I think he'll probably have a better showing in South Carolina than he did in New Hampshire. I mean, as evidenced by him, okay, literally
16 days.
I mean, it just depends on, again, his fundraising, how hard his campaign hits the ground in South Carolina and raises awareness. I mean, the question would be if he did if he just was there and not really raising awareness, or his campaign wasn't really out there, would he still have a good showing?
Let me throw this grenade in here. I don't know if you heard a tale of this, but shortly after former Senator and Secretary of State John Kerry endorsed Joe Biden, he then made a backhanded remark that I'm not sure if it was hot mic'd, but it got out, him saying that this thing was ajar enough that he might run himself. And I don't know if you heard about this, but combined with just the relentless drumbeat for Hillary Clinton to jump back in this race, I think the Democrats, as a body politic, don't want Sanders as the nominee.
And that's where I thought you were actually going to funnel that too. And that's it. I think broadly, and that's been a major complaint about Sanders' position and where he is now, is that you even see it in the mainstream media, that it really, the talk is about Bloomberg. The talk is about other things other than the actual front runner right now. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, this is, whether you like it or not, and we're not talking about huge margins here, obviously, but this is the will of the people, and this has been sort of the gripe with the electoral.
What's Elizabeth Warren up to right now? Senator Warren, excuse me.
I don't know. But
it's been awful quiet about her.
I think this is people's overall gripe with things like the Electoral College, the popular vote, that clearly is the will of the people is Bernie Sanders, and that the DNC might not see it that way.
But that's just it. Look, I go back.
And look, they didn't do well in 2016, 2017
But how ironic is this? That his big accomplishment, okay, following the 26th, look, I'll say it again. They stole it from him fair and square, folks, in 2016, all right? They did to him in 2016 what got done in Hillary in 08. All right, the superdelegate swung the whole thing. Yeah. So that's the great irony of the Pyrrhic victory, the victory that came with a heavy cost here. Senator Sanders got inserted into the party platform for the first time since 1968. The Democratic Party platform says that superdelegates may not vote on the first ballot. Superdelegates were already elected, mostly, and bigwig Democratic officials that aren't tied to any specific result, okay, in a caucus or a primary, all right? So in this case, there's so many candidates running, and people are dropping out, people are falling to Biden, people are falling to different candidates. Mayor Pete, now, they're not confident he can win. Of course they're not. Nor are they confident Klobuchar. And frankly, I don't know how much they believe in an Elizabeth Warren candidacy. And they're certainly starting to panic with the reality of a Senator Sanders candidacy staring them in the face. Because Elizabeth Warren, at the end of the day, I've said this before, will swing back establishment. She was a Republican for 47 years. Mm-hmm. She takes the big corporate donors. Sanders doesn't. Sanders is a true believer. They're not going to have that. So that's why all this talk, because the point of this is you force 7 or 8 candidates together. Sanders getting a plurality isn't enough. He has to get 51% on that first ballot, or it goes to a second ballot. He's not the nominee.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I'm being maybe not pragmatic. That's not the right word, but utopian's not the right word either. I'm struggling for it, but you know, ultimately this idea of the
popular he's your vote, guy, isn't he?
What, Sanders?
I mean, who's your dog in this if not?
I mean
as a progressive,
you know, it's I have not picked a candidate, nor, like, to be honest with you, it's not pleading the fifth because I have one and I don't feel like discussing it. I'm letting it play out.
You're ghost polling for Trump, aren't you?
Yeah, you've got me. No, it's I feel like I need to hear it out, because ultimately it isn't for one candidate or the other. Really, I think a lot of my viewpoints or my opinions, which I don't give so freely, really lie somewhere between moderate and some of that progressive platform. And I haven't met anyone there that really fits that mold yet. And I think it will all evolve too, right? Like, it's, you know,
so you couldn't have gotten behind a Joe Biden.
It isn't. Look, here's the thing. Here's a little story.
It's not out of the question, is it?
I've met the former vice president a time or two, Walter Reed. And in fact, I got a good wave from the president or the vice president in his motorcade as I was leaving Walter Reed. I swear to you, I was pulling out after a shift and the motorcade was pulling in. And I was like, I didn't know the president was coming. And here comes good old Uncle Joe with aviator sunglasses on. He just, you know, flicks up that like, hello, wave, just a little wave. I was like, yeah, vice president just waved at me. There he goes. Here's the thing. I've heard some stories. I've heard them. I don't have a security clearance anymore.
About what?
I don't work.
Joe?
Some personal first-hand account stories. I mean, maybe they're secondhand. Anyway, from the individuals which had encounters with Uncle Joe. I don't know.
What are we talking, horseplay in the showers here?
Well, no, not Penn State, but like...
We're not talking Roman Catholicism or
No. We're just going to leave it at that.
Bill Clinton here, like, hey, sugar cookie.
Well, yeah, a little bit more like that, hey, sugar cookie kind of thing.
We could invent some new ways to enjoy cigars.
You know, kind of like, be little Matthew McConaughey, like, be a lot cooler if you did kind of thing. I don't know.
Right.
Just you know. So, look. At the end of the day, I look at this from a if the sole purpose is to get at least this current Republican who is in office out, even if it was replaced with another Republican, I might be happier with it.
You know what? I don't think short of a Damascus Road level experience here, I just got to say that's looking like more and more of a Dem prospect. For the Democratic Party. I'm just being real here.
We've been talking about that.
If I didn't know better, I would say that they're trying to lose this thing or that they'd rather lose it than let Sanders have it.
Look, I respect the principality.
Don't you think there are Democrats to feel that way, though? They would rather Trump win?
Ooh, I don't know about that. I have not heard any of those rumblings at all.
Okay. Are they saying by not voting? The ones that you know for a fact need are staying home.
Look, I don't. I think. Look, I
that's
think
the vote for Trump.
I have not in every place that I've read, every forum that I'm in, have I heard. I think that there is so much hatred for the current president
further than I intended. What I mean is, they're gonna stay home.
Now
that's the same thing as the vote for the president.
No, I get that, but I don't. There's no indication currently that, at least from, like, it's anecdotal at best, but there's no indication that people, or that I've seen or heard, that people are willing to stay home.
Susan Sarandon.
Oh, yeah, maybe that. But I think ultimately the question is, let's just say that Biden, even with the DNC's interest behind Biden, that fundraising, just because fundraising is a big deal, right? You have a couple of poor showings and that fundraising money really, we'll be honest, Biden's not Bloomberg wealthy and is not financing his entire campaign, is not contributing like what, $300 million of his own money.
He
towards
doesn't
it.
Have that kind of money. He and doesn't. This is where Citizens United and company comes into play, because I'm sorry, it should be illegal to do what Bloomberg's doing.
It is a blatant test of constitutionality, or at least
flooding the markets to that degree with that level of capital. And I'm a free market thinker. Okay. You know this,
which is interesting that you take this position. I mean,
I'm saying this from, I think the founders created a beautiful framework. I do. Okay. I just feel like they would look at what's going on now, and I know this sounds like a living, breathing document argument, and I'm not so sure that they would be okay with someone with 10 times the war chest of any candidate within a phone call for a wire transfer in one candidate's account just from the day they start. I don't think they would be cool with that kind of money being flooded into a mass market society, a mass media society like we have today.
So
I just don't see the founders being okay with you being able to buy a damned election.
Yeah. Well, so the question is, what is the Bloomberg consequence, right? So is it that he floods the market so much, doesn't get the nominee, but actually detracts from potential viable candidates who are doing it the more traditional way? Well, or does he actually buy himself into the nominee?
I want to be clear. I feel like you should be able to buy as many advertisements as a station will sell you. Okay. That's not a contradictory statement to make, though. My point is you shouldn't be able to bring this much money into an election. I don't find things like this in super PACs to be healthy for the system.
Yeah, so the question that so then your argument is that inherently super PACs
United allowed this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're saying is super PACs are inherently sort of unhealthy to the system in the same way that one individual bringing $300 million of his own money to the campaign.
Don't you see it's like an
equivalency.
What's the difference?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, in terms of application, okay, if you slam smack, it's the same thing as shooting up Oxycontin. It turns to the same thing in your bloodstream. One, you're in a hospital. The other, you're a junkie. It depends on your perspective, right? Well, same idea here.
Yeah. So it's really apples and apples. It's not apples and oranges. So I mean, you do the intravenous drug analogy.
Give me a double advocate, then.
I'll do the fruit analogy.
What? Okay, I know my junkie example is a little harsh. I'm sorry.
Noted.
Well,
let's skip
the post-apocalyptic time.
The Bloomberg consequence ultimately. Like, let's pretend hypothetically that Biden just has multiple poor showings and eventually he's out, right? Where did those people go, right? Especially if he's got the majority of all candidates, the African American base. Do they go to Bloomberg? Where do they? They don't go. Like, the two potential moderate candidates that fit the Biden framework do not have a great track record with African Americans. Stop and Frisk and the South Bend debacle. So do they just
Bloomberg's
stay home?
Not going to be the guy.
So is it Sanders?
I'm not saying it is. I'm telling you this.
Or did they stay home?
What, no?
Or do they stay home? I mean, I suppose Klobuchar is there. I keep discounting the fact she did have a good showing in New Hampshire.
Okay, I think the answer may be yes there to both. I think they stay home or go Sanders. The ones that are, you know, they're like, look, I can't hold my nose tightly enough to not throw up while I vote for Sanders. The ones that can't do that, and if, you know, they don't go Trump or they don't go Libertarian or Green Party, then yeah, they stay home and they go to Sanders.
I feel like the argument for these crossovers, like independent crossovers it's just going to be such a weird, let's just pretend Sanders does take the nominee, and we're kind of getting away from the kind of historical breakdown of what happened, but I think the conversation changes.
What could happen? I mean, we had Mayor Pete who, speaking of police debacles, South Bend, Indiana is his calling card being a mayor. That's going to come back to bite him. He's not going to be the nominee. Congratulations, however, on, yes, a historic Iowa primary win.
Yeah. Well, I think that the reason we have these, I mean, even the reason we're having these conversations in the first place is because obviously the field has shifted and we have more data to make these, to have this conversation, but
true. But my point, I wasn't being snarky when I said that. My point is, beyond that historic event, I'm afraid Mayor Pete is free to prove me wrong, but I think he's peaked.
Yeah. Pete's
peaked. I mean, do you see him having a path?
I don't know. In the moderate playing field, the Biden, the Bloomberg, the Klobuchar, I mean, he's obviously doing better than all of them right now, but the question is who, I think it ultimately comes down to did he peak early and then he peters off, or
remember again, folks, I think I brought this up last episode, but just remember, and I got this one right at the time, and I've got the predicted.org receipt to prove it, but Ben Carson won the 2016 Iowa Republican caucus. So just bear that in mind.
Well, South Carolina's coming up 16. Well, we're going to do another. We are going to do another episode before that, so we'll leave our predictions to that episode.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. I mean, there's 16 days between now and then, no. But what sticks out in your mind about New Hampshire, though?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Klobuchar, I think, was something interesting that's come out of New Hampshire. I guess I wasn't surprised that Bernie Sanders kept that momentum into New Hampshire. Ultimately, I think my biggest takeaway was Joe Biden's poor showing, honestly. I was a bit surprised by that. And if that trend continues, which I just have a feeling it might, although South Carolina might change that, I think for the sake of embarrassment, I was happy that New Hampshire went smoothly. And then, of course, to see Andrew Yang drop out, I just think his novelty with the UBI was cool, and he got that to a platform. And he has now had to subsequently drop out. Those are kind of my key takeaways.
UBI made the platform?
Well, no, I mean, it's been a talking point. It's been on the platform. That I think if there's anything that was a success in terms of his awareness of that, maybe a couple years too early. But
he can come back, though. I mean, he's got the... He's definitely charismatic.
I see him in a potential cabinet position. I really do. So I think even a Senate run in the future, Senator Yang would be a good...
What do you think about Michelle Obama?
I'm exhausted by the idea of... If you're talking about her entering the race, I'm exhausted.
Well,
by the
idea. There's her, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. There's your scuttlebutt.
I just don't.
John Kerry's the latest entrant.
I don't care.
I'm Herman John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty. You remember that shit show?
I don't care.
Please tell me you remember that.
I do. I just...
Guys, seriously, it's like, where did you get that face? Hollywood?
So what are your takeaways from New Hampshire?
I think it definitely reinforces Sanders's for real.
Yeah.
And I think the progressive vote is more and more coalescing. They've chosen. It's just it's not happening for Senator Warren. Take away whatever conclusions from that you will, but early results aren't good. You know, sure, she did better than former Vice President Biden, but so did a lot of people. So I'm not so sure she can read much into the tea leaves there. We'll see what Mayor Pete's able to do in South Carolina. I'm predicting it's not going to be a whole lot. Yeah. Sanders, at worst, comes in second there.
Yeah. Well, from there, I think we need to at least spend...
Otherwise, Biden's done, obviously.
Yeah. I would say I think there's more to follow with Biden out of South Carolina.
Yeah, we'll call South Carolina next week.
But... Yeah, sounds good. I like that. Well, in the last 10 minutes or so... We just can't go an episode without talking about our dear president,
yes.
Donald Trump, but more importantly, Bill Barr,
the
Attorney General. You brought up some good points, right? You brought up some good points that Bill Barr has a maybe almost scary position on executive power, and. The big question today is the DOJ, is the Attorney General, and I don't really mean the DOJ writ large, but the DOJ, the Attorney General, is he now really independent from the executive branch? And I think the argument that he is not is just as valid as the argument that he is independent. Whereas before, by saying, look, with really no evidence at all that Bill Barr, you could make the case that Bill Barr is independent of the executive branch, and there wouldn't be a whole lot of evidence otherwise, other than the fact that he believes in sort of this unnecessary amount of executive power. However, what's happened over the last several hours and this last week has rightfully changed a lot of people's perspectives, and I think it all started with Roger Stone having the prosecutors in his case recommending somewhere in the tune of 7 to 9 years of prison time. And this got up to President Trump. President Trump tweeted, like he does, along the lines of this was a miscarriage of justice. I think that was maybe I quoted that exactly.
Maybe well, you did.
I think miscarriage of justice. Well, promptly the next day, the Department of Justice bigwigs, headquarters, HQ, basically submitted and said, yeah, you know, that's funny. But we really do think that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. We're looking at something like, 2 years. I don't know what it was, but it's something significantly less than 7 to 9 years.
Right.
Well, rightfully so. A lot of watchdogs out there were like, wait, what? You mean to tell me the independent Bill Barr goes ahead and the next day, after Trump tweets and says it's a miscarriage of justice and tries and proposes a recommendation to reduce Roger Stone's sentence. I wasn't aware
the Attorney General personally intervened.
Well, it's his department, right?
Well,
I said writ large, they don't, they're probably still independent, but that makes the case that writ large, they aren't independent, at least the big wigs in HQ.
Well, that's if you view the decision that way.
Well,
is it possible to believe that they came out with that independently?
Well,
I mean, 7 to 9 years is severe considering the crimes.
Is it?
Nobody died here.
Well, I don't know the precedent. However,
I don't know the precedent either. But
yeah, so the
7 to 9 years,
the DOJ came out and said, well, we actually came up with this recommendation preceding Trump's tweet.
I read that, and that doesn't hold water for you.
It's not that it doesn't hold water. Again, it's if we would like to at least have the perspective of independence, it seems like this administration and the agencies for whom he has authority over continue to do things that just otherwise looks shady. And look, we're through Mueller, we're through the impeachment.
The Attorney General serves the president's pleasure, and I
yes,
believe that.
But Lady Justice is blind, right, my friend. He may serve at the pleasure of the president, just like an ambassador.
The president
does
have broad authority, for instance, to remove executive officers.
That's fine.
He can fire whoever the hell he wants.
But where I would say that the Justice Department or that of justice is not dictated by the president other than pardons, or should not be dictated by the president.
So the president doesn't have First Amendment rights here?
No, he does. But can he dictate what I would say? The Justice Department itself, as they say, Lady Justice or justice is blind, correct?
Absolutely. I'm curious. I'm not trying to be contrarian here. I'm trying to see what you're driving at, because I mean, obviously, I would be more comfortable with this entire situation if the president would tweet less. Yes, yeah. Here.
Well, so that's just the thing. If the president
is he to not express his First Amendment rights, then
he can. He absolutely can.
Then what? What is your answer look like?
My answer is, the Justice Department the next day doesn't release a new proposal for recommendations for reduced sentence.
What, they just let this man eat 7 to 9 years?
Yeah. I think Roger Stone's an asshole.
Okay, a lot of assholes don't deserve to go to prison for almost a decade. His worst crime is probably having Richard Nixon's face tattooed in the middle of his back.
That's a worse crime than witness tampering and witness intimidation.
All right, if you believe, have you read those texts?
Yeah. What about continuing to be an asshole when he's not allowed to communicate or use social media, but then puts the judge in crosshairs on an Instagram post?
I mean, the guy's definitely a firebrand. He's a provocateur, yeah. but 7 to 9 years?
Why not?
It feels like overkill. That's why.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a recommendation, right? Judge has the ultimate say, right?
Sure.
So, I don't know.
I appreciate your
deconstruction of my argument. It's not really an argument. It's the fact that I continue I'm able to continue to point to issues where it validates a lot of people's feelings about this administration. And you can say, look, there's nothing to see here. This is a nothing burger. And maybe you're right.
I'm not saying that. And I'm not trying to be a jerk here.
No, I don't think you are. I'm just saying that this administration itself and the agencies by which he I wouldn't say governs, as it's not the right word, but.
See, I disagree. I think the flaw lies in our system and that it needs reform. But I say you don't hate the player, you hate the game. That's where I'm at on this.
Okay.
President Trump has exposed a lot of flaws in the system that our Congress needs to have the guts to address.
Well, that's true. Or maybe the Senate finally bringing something to the floor to debate.
Well, I think he's expended a lot of political capital.
I agree. So you don't think by Bill Barr coming out today and going, God, I really wish the president would tweet less is not an indication that he sees how this looks to the broader public?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is not lost on him, how that looks. That was an entire point.
Yeah. And then McConnell's follow-up.
He's a sharp operator. He knows, and I think this was his way of saying, look, look, the president's not going to get anybody better than Barr. Okay, no, he's not going to get anybody who's got the ability to connect the dots in legalese the way he can turn himself into a human pretzel for the president at will. Okay, he's able to do that and somehow seems to make it potable, and he's got mainstream credibility, relatively speaking, versus anybody else. And the president's got to think long and hard about that. And this was his attorney general saying, look, you put me in a really bad situation. I mean, you couldn't make a phone call.
Yeah. No, and I agree. So the question then is, Trump wins re-election. Does Barr stick around for another four?
Because Trump needs, to begin with, stunned me.
Trump needs Barr.
Well, of course he does. I mean, Barr is his J. Edgar Hoover, his Kissinger.
Yeah.
No, absolutely he needs Barr. Now, I mean, to me, if you're Barr, I don't see why you wouldn't stick around because, I mean, the fact that he came back to begin with means he's willing to put his legacy on the line again. I really hope he believes in his view of executive power and it's that important to him to be there.
Yeah.
Because he's put his legacy on the line for President Trump.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a long and short of that. I mean, hey, it stunned me to begin with. But now that he's there, unless health or family becomes a factor, but again, why would you come back at all?
Yeah.
He had already, to remind folks, he had already been Attorney General for the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush, from 88 to 92. So this is his second go around at the job.
Yeah. God, how old is he? Like 1,000?
Well, you raise an interesting issue. But I'm not so certain. I'm not so certain in the text that you actually, said this in. But I'm also the tone. I feel Nate.
He's only 69 years old, which is impressive at the age of first in the 89 that he was the DOJ
young
general. Yeah,
his 30s.
That's significant.
Yeah. It is, and it shows to me that the president was telling the truth when he only employs the best people. I feel like he's shown that time and again that he would never bring anyone into his orbit or further clog the swamp. I mean, Rick Perry would never be seen. Unless he had some very studious glasses. Now, that would change the whole dynamic for me. Yeah, in that case, I might be willing to let Rick Perry stay if he had some really studious glasses.
Yeah.
He started wearing out of nowhere.
Well, we're digressing now. Well, hey, look, we're at 40 minutes.
We're fine.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. It's over.
Fine. I get you. I get you like this all alone. Just once, Wow, and just, God.
I know. Any parting thoughts?
Honestly, I thank everyone again from abroad, especially Vive la France, and we've had a return in listenership from Ghana and Italia, and thank you, and thank you, of course, to our domestic listeners and the feedback, colorful and otherwise, we've gotten. I would say to stay tuned, because it's honestly been really interesting to see this develop, and not just as a country, but also for us as a publication, and be able to see how there's actually been a change in dynamics, not necessarily for the better, but in national discourse, and see that, hey, well, at least we know where people are at in the country. There's a lot less doubt when it comes to, you know, and that's something we can work with. At least people are participating in the system now. And I said that to begin with when President Trump ran in the first place. Hey, he brought some rock star type attention to the race, and hey, look at the midterms. I don't know that people like, I mean, do you think the squad would be where they are without a President Donald Trump?
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything positive from the legacy, that certainly, I don't mean that necessarily that it's entirely negative, but I think historically, historically in the future, that you'll see that that this period of time will have a far bigger uptick in political interest broadly. So, well,
do you think AOC would be in Congress without President Trump in office?
I don't know that the progressive movement would be as strong without him in office.
So, I mean, there's perhaps some lemonade to be made all around. And I mean, that's depending upon your view, folks.
We're, of course,
at the moment taking a, hey, that would be a good thing view. But regardless, I find the agnostic in political terms here, the uptick in interest, period. And of course, the uptick in interest in us and our perspective on this, because, I mean, look, again, tonight wasn't as perhaps severe as other times, but we split hairs tonight, saw things a little differently. I mean, it's always, you know, there's always some sort of twist, it feels like, to the plot that we suspect least. And I mean, so who knows at this point? Of course, I mean, my brother asked me the other night, he said, do you really think that's possible, Jonathan, for Hillary Clinton or John Kerry to get involved in this race? And I'm going, you're asking me this after Donald Trump is president. Of course, I think anything's possible at this point. I mean, I'm 35. Who knows? I could get appointed. There's no telling. But somebody that, if you wrote this in a script 5 years ago, nobody would believe you. Nobody.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You'd be laughed out of Tinseltown. So, I mean, on that note.
Yeah. Well, hey, my friend, as always, it's an honor and a privilege. And until next time,
au revoir.
We'll see you.